It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, by the way, do you ever see my mom's painting? She does a pretty good job at it. I know somebody told me we should hang this up for Sunday nights when we do the sit-down episodes. You know, I was talking to somebody today. And we were kind of reminiscing a little bit about Goodfellas. And, you know, I did not realize that when Goodfellas came out in 1990, that was the same year that Home Alone came out as well. So let that sink in a little bit. Joe Pesci, you know, doing Goodfellas, you know, monumental role, and the same year Home Alone comes out. I don't remember us reacting to Joe Pesci doing comedy in Home Alone the same year as Goodfellas. Pretty wild when you really go back and look at it. Such a diverse, you know, character display on those two movies. But, hey, how's everybody doing? Yes, I know. You know, Joey sent this as a gift, so I told him I would wear it from time to time. I think Sunday nights is most appropriate. It is the sit-down with yours truly. Gifa, everybody, Gifa. And thank you very much. I see a flurry of super chats coming in early. Two things. One has to do with tonight, and one has to do with from now on going forward. Going forward, as any super chats come in, I will answer them right away. Unless it's something that is really off topic as far as a current conversation. Like if we're talking about Bray Wyatt and then somebody super chats about Kenny Omega, now maybe we'll wait a few minutes and then we answer that. But if it's pertinent to the discussion at hand, no need for you to wait for me to acknowledge you. And by the way, you know, I want to thank everybody for the last 2 days. As most of you know by now, Tough Enough winner 2015, Sarah Lee, the wife of Wesley Blake, died at the age of 30. Just an absolute tragedy. You know, if you follow her story, the last week, you know, to go from a sinus infection, go back to the gym, and then 2 days later, you're gone. I mean, that really does put life in perspective. And let's be honest, everyone. I don't have the Instagram photos posted of her, you know, at the gym. But I think one thing is safe to say, that Sarah Lee was probably in 1,000 times better shape than yours truly and a lot of you out there. And if you could go at 30 years old, out of nowhere, and I know what some people are speculating, and believe me, you know, don't even go there, because that's not even remotely even been considered by those in the know. If the family ever decides to reveal what happened, then we'll talk about it. The bottom line is she passed, you know, left a very young family, a couple of kids, and from Friday's show, last night's Extreme Rules recap, and this episode of The Sit Down, any super chats that come in, I will not only match it, but I will then match it and donate everything on Monday. And you could go to her GoFundMe, go to tinyurl.com/RIP Sarah Lee, and you'll see the post there. I am not going to repost a screenshot of it because, you know, it could be interpreted two different ways. That's why I didn't even put, you know, when I plugged the shows over the weekend that, you know, we were going to do this, I didn't put that on Twitter or Facebook because some people interpret it that are you using a charitable cause to get more views on your shit? And I think that is so awful. you know, for people to even accuse. But there are a lot of naive, ignorant people out there. I have been doing donation drives for 25 years, you know, and most of the times they're not advertised in advance. It's just a little gesture. But I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And remember always, whether it's for a cause like that or if it's simply to buy me a cappuccino, you know, you're not required to financially contribute to the shows. You spread the word, you let a friend know, let an enemy know, you know, let other people know, hey, you know, this channel's pretty good. Maybe you check it out from time to time. You know, he kind of like hits it on the nose every single time. You know, I want to thank Mikey for such an awesome email because I didn't even think about it. But apparently Brian Alvarez and TMZ, apparently there's like, not an argument because it's a one-sided argument, but apparently, Dave Meltzer might have been, but look, I'm a huge supporter of Dave Meltzer. I subscribe to his newsletter. We're not throwing shade at Dave Meltzer, but apparently because TMZ put out certain aspects of the Andrade, Sammy Guevara situation, that apparently Dave Meltzer kind of contradicted. And instead of just having two versions of the story, it seemed like they were going out of their way to shoot down the TMZ report, you know, a little bit inaccurate. And Mikey, you know, reminded me that what I was told from two people that actually worked there and gave me a very vague overview that apparently what we explained Wednesday night was the most accurate, that Tony Khan told Sammy Guevara and Andrade, do not, please do not, you know, get involved with each other. Just let it cool off. You had agents there that told both sides before Andrade even showed up at the building, please. You know, what they did now, and listen, I'm not throwing any shade towards AEW, but what they did now was what they should have done with CM Punk right after CM Punk made his comments on the scrum. Tony Khan, he's going to learn if he really wants to grow. You know, some people that feel that they don't need to change anything, you know, you won't get through to them. But I think Tony Khan is really learning from that experience. And as we said Wednesday, you know, both sides were told, please, let it cool down. Do not get, you know, confront each other. And Andrade went straight to him and kind of provoked the whole situation. Now, Andrade, I take his side more than anything, you know, because of this culture clash that we've talked about. But, you know, I appreciate the email. That was very, very thoughtful. Honestly, I could give a shit if mine was more accurate than one report or another report. I ask, you know, for information to relate to all of you. I don't post it on my website, breaking exclusive news. I don't, you know, put it on social media. But, hey, apparently we have some more cooked sausage to talk about tomorrow. Remember the sausage we brought up about 4 or 5 weeks ago that Bray Wyatt, the only reason why he may return early as Extreme Rules, is because Saudi Arabia wants a little bit of Bray Wyatt. And, you know, it appears that Bray Wyatt may in fact be performing at Crown Jewel. Who he faces, your guess is as good as mine. Because on Raw tomorrow, Seth Rollins takes on Bobby Lashley for the United States Championship. I got this weird vibe that Seth Rollins may actually win. Unless if maybe Seth Rollins is the first target in Bray Wyatt's eyes, maybe Bray Wyatt fucks with Seth Rollins tomorrow. To be continued, everybody. To be continued. All right. So for those that might be new to the sit down on Sundays, I show up with a blank piece of paper. Believe it or not, I have no paper. So I'm going to have to replay this episode later on 5 times as fast speed and re-listen to all of your questions and comments. You create the content for tonight's show. You are the content creator tonight. And I obviously will answer your questions in the live chat. If you have a question that you want to ask, write in capital letters the word question beforehand so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to relay to everyone, if you have a thought, write comment, capital letters. If you super chat it, then obviously, you know, you get to the front of the line, and I answered a little bit earlier. So without further ado, let's spend the rest of tonight's episode doing a sit-down. And Very, very weird right off the bat. I see like a couple of super chats came in and I don't see them popping up on my screen, but actually they will show up on the screen. Steve Joseph, right off the bat with a five spot. Thank you very much. Do I have to take any type of medication to get rid of my COVID? I am now COVID free for about, 10 days? So it's amazing. Is it 10 days? It's about 10 days, right? I had to take nothing but cold medicine. In review of having COVID for the first time, to me, it was an annoying cold that wouldn't go away. You know, that's really what it was. I mean, you know, when I get a cold, it usually lasts 2-3 days and then I feel better. This lasted about 12-13 days. I never really got a fever, maybe just a drop for a few moments. But no, it was just Theraflu. I drank more Theraflu in a week than I have done in my entire lifetime. But I'm telling you, Theraflu, Zicam, which is zinc, you know, like gummies or chewables, zinc, vitamin D, Theraflu, and Mucinex. That's my four horsemen as far as getting rid of COVID. And it worked. Did not have to take any antiviral drugs. It doesn't mean that you won't have to. You know, everybody is different. Everybody's body acts different. I think my four vaccinations prepared my body a little bit on how to react. Also, Steven, another five spot. If the New York Mets make the World Series, how will that affect my shows? Will I be watching instead of doing the shows? It's not going to affect me at all. I'm a Mets fan. I'm a baseball fan. I'm not one of those. Unless I get tickets for a game and they're great seats and, you know, I have to pass up. Look, I was going to go to Raw tomorrow in Brooklyn, but a couple of my friends are not going to be able to go. And to be honest with you, unless I'm going with a bunch of friends, my wife can't go. She's got to work early the next day. No, I could watch the games afterwards. You know, getting some updates in real time is cool and everything, but I do not, you know, I don't need to not do a show because of the Mets. I hope they win. I hope they win. So Martin Hajduk, thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. He's enjoying his Sunday. I hope all of you are enjoying it as well. Maybe in a few minutes, we'll put the regular hat on. You know, I kind of like it. You know, so, Joey asked me the other day, and I didn't see his question. You know, did I ever like wear these hats when I was younger? And yes, for a very short period of time in the early 90s, you know, me and my friends, we went through this Godfather Goodfellas age. And I've talked about it before, that whenever we had a drink, whether it's, you know, a little shot of Remy Martin, everybody drank cognac. I can't stand cognac, but that was the drink to have in the early 90s, a Remy Martin. And every time you took the drink, you had to have the pinky. You pick up the drink. See, I have Amazon seltzer, so it's a bad example. But you always, this is too heavy. You always got to pick up the pinky like this. Whenever you take a shot, you always got to pick up the pinky. And we wore the pancake hats. We call it a pancake hat. But my father wore these up until the 70s, maybe even early 80s. Once Miami Vice came around, you've seen pictures of my dad. That was it. All the old school Italian Godfather one look that a lot of deep Italians had around here, that was out the window and everybody was dressing like Miami Vice. So, all right. Guardian of Chaos, thank you very much, my friend. Very, very generous of you. With a 10 spot, I will definitely match that and send over to Sarah Lee as well. Doria Mesa, happy anniversary. We will definitely get into what you mentioned. That makes me look like the fourth member of the Brawling Brutes. Yes, where's my Butch picture? I tell you, honestly, it does look exactly like Butch's hat. It does look exactly like Butch's hat. You know, but for me, this is more like early 1920s Italian. You know, that was the look, but it was also the look of Irish as well. You know, it's amazing. If you ever go on YouTube and you watch footage, you know, like the restored footage from like the 1920s, 1930s. I don't know if you ever pick up on it, but if you watch like people walking around New York City, California, Detroit, you know, especially in the United States, every single man or guy has a hat. Every single kid has a hat. It is almost, you rarely, for every 100 men or boys wearing a hat, you might have one that doesn't wear one. Every single, and probably that's why everybody's hair was receding back then. You know, you didn't have, you know, hair club for men back then. And it is true that if you wear a hat, you know, I'm pretty certain it's true that apparently the oxygen in your pores get limited. And apparently hats do cause, you know, baldness. I mean, I never really investigated it that deep, but I do know that wearing hats is not the greatest thing to do all the time. So but I usually only wear hats when I'm on the show or when I'm too lazy to get a haircut. I mean, you know, I got my haircut September 3rd. So obviously I'm a little overdue of a haircut right now, but not yet. Not yet. Yeah, the scalp needs oxygen. Three Diglets. You're right. Diglets. I thought that said digits. You know, he's not Messiah. Anybody knows why I said that? Props to you. Three digits. All right. This is a good one. Ronnie C. went and saw Back to the Future, the Back to the Future reunion at Comic-Con. It was really cool, but sad to see how frail Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd looked and sounded. Was I a fan of the movie when it came out? Honestly, you know, this is my fault. This is my fault. I should be bringing up Back to the Future more often when I talk about my favorite movies of all time. Obviously, my number one is Goodfellas. My number two is Godfather 2. You know, but in my top 10, you know, it's like Spaceballs, Adventures of Ford Fairlane, but Back to the Future. Back to the Future, if I really took a deep thought into my lifetime watching movies, I think Back to the Future would be in my top five. I remember when the movie came out in 1985. The weirdest thing about it is, you know, I'm sure all of you in your lifetime, you have those moments. You remember where you were, what you were doing, what you were wearing, what the weather was. You remember when things happen, you know, whether it's, you know, a major tragedy or somebody dies or, you know, the one that's most vivid for me is Chris Candido. I've told that story before, you know, getting the phone call from the mass maniac and he's just, you know, frantic, crying and sobbing, you know, like nothing I had ever heard before. But believe it or not, going to see Back to the Future when it came out is something I still remember vividly. I went to the Walt Whitman Mall in Long Island and I took the train. I took the Long Island Railroad with my friend Rob. I used to hang out in Woodhaven, Queens. I'm sure a lot of you remember this story with me, you know, 15-year-old Don Tony. You know, hey, Vito, come here. Five-year-old, I gave him X-Lax. You know, a lot of you, do you know that story? Oh, some people are like, oh, God, no. All right, growing up Don Tony, quick story. 1984 to 1986, maybe a little bit of 87. Once I got my driver's license, that was it. You know, my days of hanging out in Woodhaven were pretty much all over, but my aunt lives in Woodhaven, Queens. And, you know, back at that time, I used to hang out on their block. And I became really good friends with this guy, Rob. And we would hang out on the block in the summertime. We would go to Met games. I can't tell you how many Met games we started going to in 1985. Once they brought in Gary Carter, once they brought in Keith Hernandez, Daryl Strawberry was already there for 2 years. And Doc Gooden came in a year before. And, you know, you started feeling the excitement of being a Met fan in 85. Then Back to the Future came out. And we took the Long Island Railroad to the Walt Whitman Mall, which is not close, you know, from Woodhaven, Queens. And we spent the day at the mall, going to the movie, coming back. And I don't know why I still remember that day so clear, but Back to the Future, man, when it came out, I loved it. I think at that time, I always fantasized what it would have been like to live in the 50s. Because that was only three decades before. And my parents, you know, which, what, 1985? How old were they? Maybe four in the mid-40s. So they would have grown up as a teenager in the 50s. You know, my dad was born in 49 and my mom was born in 48. So they would have been a preteen in the 50s, you know, maybe a little bit older towards the latter part. So I think we all envision it. And Back to the Future did such a great, you know, rendition of what the 50s, you felt like you were in the 50s, everything about it. And plus, Michael J. Fox was very popular at that time. Family Ties is one of my favorite shows back then. He was in a couple of other movies. I think Class of 84 might have been a movie also. But, you know, I do know that they had the reunion at Comic-Con. You know, Parkinson's has really, really attacked Michael J. Fox really, really bad. I mean, look, 15 years ago, you know, a lot of people very comical, lighthearted about it. I joked about it as well. We saw Family Guy, you know, joke about it. But as you learn over the years, Parkinson's, man, is no joke. And it is sad to see him in that condition. But you know what? I love the fact that he still goes out. Yes, his body can't handle the overload, but he's not embarrassed by it. And, you know, it's amazing to think. Just think about that. In 3 years, that movie is out 40 fucking years. That just blows me away. 40 years ago, that movie would have come out. That's kind of mind-boggling when you think about it. So, Chaos's first memories of Shea Stadium are from 72 and 73. That's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. My earliest memory of Shea Stadium is when the Jets were playing football there. I mean, I heard it on the news and everything, but when Yankee Stadium was being renovated in the 70s, they had to play some games at Shea Stadium. And that's when I first really started, you know, taking notice of Shea Stadium. You got to understand something. You know, I was a Yankee fan up until 82, when Reggie did not resign with the Yankees and went to the California Angels. That's when I really, you know, I was pissed off at George Steinbrenner and the Yankees. And when Reggie came back for that first game and hit the home run off of Ron Guidry in a pouring rain, and, you know, the fans were chanting that Steinbrenner sucks, that was pretty wild. I mean, I have all the footage. I have the original game. I have all the news reports from that night. I mean, New Yorkers were irate. Reggie Jackson is obviously my favorite player of all time. But I started becoming a Met fan in 1982. Pretty much never looked back. I'm also a Yankee fan. You know, especially if the Mets are not in it, I will root for the Yankees. So, but I'm a New Yorker, through and through. So, all right, let's spend some time in the chat. The villain with a 5-spot. Thank you very much, brother. He thinks Bray would feud with Matt Riddle because he is connected to Randy Orton. He feels like he did the most damage in Bray Wyatt's backstory. That is not bad. That is not bad. The only issue that I have with it is that Triple H has made a concerted effort to have Matt Riddle lighten up with the Randy Orton obsessions. You remember when he was wearing the Randy shirts and I'm doing this for Randy and I'm doing this for Randy? It got to the point where we wanted to see Randy Orton beat the fuck out of Riddle. Riddle now is still friendly, lovable, come out on a scooter, the neon colors, the 420, you know, jokes. You know, you see the birds flying, the cartoonish. But when Riddle gets pissed off, you don't want to fuck with him. And that's one element of Matt Riddle that was missing. Now, do you rehash it by having Bray Wyatt go after Matt Riddle? You know, we still don't know what Bray Wyatt's going to do. But, you know, so many people want Bray Wyatt to be back that you feel like he's got to be a representation of the people. But as I said last night, you know, you think of the concept, who killed the world? You did. You did. You know what's funny? It's almost like a variation of what Marina Shafir said when she's like, you know, she tried to basically say to everybody, like, oh, I was brought up in where, Albany or whatever, and, you know me. And then she started, you don't know me. 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 You know, you don't know nothing about me. So it's like, you know, you would think that because it was her hometown that she would have kind of showed love for them and just, you know, made it a little bit more clearer that everywhere else, it's almost like Bret Hart in Canada. I know that's a crazy stretch, but the point is, if you think about Bray Wyatt and he's doing this, he's telling you, you killed the world. You killed the world. You killed the world. Unless Bray Wyatt wants to kill the world too. You know, did you kill Bray Wyatt's world? That's what we have to figure out. So, you know, it's really up in the air what they're going to do. You know, I personally think, and I hope this doesn't happen, but I got this gut feeling that how they may determine Bray Wyatt's first feud is not that Bray Wyatt goes after someone. And yes, look, on Raw, Brooklyn, big show planned. Maybe he shows up and interferes in someone's match, but they may do the opposite. Bray Wyatt may return, and then someone else confronts Bray Wyatt. Maybe that leads to a feud. You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't mind it, but, you know, I think it would kind of be a wet fart if Bray Wyatt comes out tomorrow, doesn't say a word, and the crowd is losing their shit, and then all of a sudden you hear, shoosh, shoosh, please. You know, maybe, you know, Sister Abigail, and that's it. You know, and that's it. End of feud. But somebody may fuck with Bray Wyatt instead. Did you see Alexa Bliss's tweet? She says, hello, old friend. Hello, old friend. Now, the fact that she even tweeted, that tells me that she's not returning anytime soon with Bray Wyatt. You know, I saw all these posters today. Oh, Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan. Why? Because you put a little dark makeup on her and she looks like perfect for the role. People are putting Liv Morgan, Bo Dallas, Joe Gacy. You know, this is the preview for my show tomorrow. And if you look at the top, all the characters were posing with their costumes yesterday. But, you know, there is no hints or rumors that have been substantiated that these characters are going to remain like in the, you know, around Bray Wyatt went on a regular basis. I thought how I interpreted yesterday, it was kind of an overview of his history. But there are people actually that are now putting like wrestlers in these. Oh, look, Huskus the Pig. That's got to be Joe Gacy. He matches Joe Gacy's physique. The Rabbit, you know, could be this person. And Sister Abigail could be Liv Morgan. I think these are just people that are excited. No issue at all. For the goofs that actually have websites and news like Sports Shitskeeda 2 days ago, still like doing actual polls. Will it be Bad Bunny? Will it be Bad Car? Look, if WWE does it, that's fine because they're playing to their fans. But these people, like, how do we get people to, like, interact with us? Oh, let's put a ridiculously moronic, stupid poll where we already know the answer, you know, just to get people to whatever. So, but that's not a bad idea. I mean, Riddle right now, who does he feud with next? Who does Riddle feud with next? You know, that's something to think about. So I tell you, you look at the Raw roster especially, there are quite a few wrestlers that you could look at them right now and say, okay, who's their next feud going to be? Seth Rollins, Matt Riddle, Bobby Lashley after this. Bobby Lashley's really not having the feud with anybody. He's having random matches. But if he loses that U.S. title tomorrow, what happens with Bobby Lashley? Does someone randomly bump into him in the back in a future episode and they laugh? Johnny Gargano has Austin Theory. That match is going down tomorrow. But then what? The Kevin Owens storyline has to be done very, very slow because of Sami Zayn's momentum in the bloodline like right now. So there are quite a few people, you know, there are quite a few people that really you almost could randomly pick pick an opponent for. So, Chaos is saying the Mets are down 4-0 in the fifth. You know, bad vibes, man. Bad vibes. Cora Jade will debut as Lily. Yeah, no. One fall. Top five wrestling impressions for me? I never really think about it, to be honest with you. I've had people say, oh, I remember when you did this impression, and I'm like, I don't remember it at all. You know, the Vince McMahon one is good. I mean, I tell you what's even better. I mean, what impressions do you all like over the years? Because I've done so many. I don't have a particular favorite one. You know, I used to do Road Warrior Hawk perfectly. You know, I've done so many. I really try not to, you know, like, think about it. Road Warrior Hawk was good. See, I can't do it right now. You see, spur of the moment I could do is, well, you know, well. But when you do that, it really hurts your throat because you really have to use some vocal cords you don't normally use. And when I do that, well, see, I can't do it. Maybe if I take it. But I can't think about it. When I do impressions, if I think about it too much beforehand, then they suck. But if I just do one out of nowhere, that's usually when they work the best. So, all right. Let's, before we start taking regular questions in the chat, Steve Joseph sent something else in that I am trying to go back and find. Oh, okay, this is a good one. This is a good one. By 2035, New York won't be making gas cars no more. So what would my next car purchase be? An electric car? And what do I think of electric cars? First of all, you know, I don't believe any politician about what happens 10, 15, 20 years in the future. People do that shit for votes. People that do that shit to gain some type of momentum. Oh, in 10 years, this is going to be this. The problem is, you know, and this is what people are realizing now. You know, people thought I was joking when I said that local restaurants here want to charge you $30 for a salad with a protein on it. Grilled chicken Caesar salad is probably the cheapest salad of them all because all they do is put lettuce, croutons, and chicken and the dressing, and you're done. But if you want like a salad with a little gorgonzola, a little bit of walnuts, some grilled chicken, $30, you know, when you want to turn around and make gas $10 a gallon, make it extinct and make this, you know, understand that when things are harder to get, the price goes up with everything. Why do you think all this supply? I'm starting to set up my place so my wife can move in. She hasn't moved in yet. She's here 4 days out of the week, but you know, we kind of like started setting things up, but even like little things I want to buy, you know, a year ago, you buy even drinking cups, regular Dixie drinking cups, 7 ounce cups for $360 a year ago, I paid $20. You go on Amazon right now, they want to charge you $20 for 80. So I don't buy that 2035 New York is up. There'll be other politicians in by that time, but honestly, I'm not against electric cars. I will be buying a new vehicle in a year or two once I get my bills a little bit more in order. And one thing that I thought about is maybe getting an electric vehicle because I don't drive far. You know, Mohegan Sun once in a while is an exception, but I don't drive far. I drive local, you know, so I might consider an electric car. If I could save on gas, why not? You know, I don't think electric cars are bad, but the idea that you're going to try to eliminate gas and oil and stuff like that, you watch what happens when the prices continue to go up for everything. So, I know. Scott Shut Hats, DT on the economy. Yeah, I'm just expressing my opinion. GMTA Entertainment says his brother has a Tesla and he loves it. I know a few people have Teslas and overall they don't complain. In fact, I think they brag a little bit too much. But I may seriously consider getting an electric car or hybrid. More words, do I prefer Bray Wyatt leading a faction or going solo? Honest, I'd rather see him lead a faction. The reason why is because if he leads a faction, you have more options of where you can go with a feud or with a storyline. Imagine if Damian Priest was still on his own. Even if he was great as a heel, you know, it's just one-on-one feuds, one-on-one feuds, one-on-one feuds. Bray Wyatt, you don't have a plethora of one-on-one feuds that people would lose their shit over, you know, make it make sense. I think that's one of the reasons why WWE did the Prevagen hire, because they're trying to figure out, okay, let's go back over the last 10 years and figure out what could we revisit that would make something make sense. And that might sound a little bit crazy and ridiculous, but no, it's not. So if you have Bray Wyatt leading a faction, you know, there's so many ways you could go. You could tease somebody leaving. You could tease somebody coming in. If somebody's really got some big time momentum, you can have that person, you know, you could mix and rotate. So for me, I absolutely think Bray Wyatt needs to have a faction. But I don't randomly put people in there simply because they look good. Joe Gacy, all right, you look at his character, it kind of makes sense a little bit. But why would you put Liv Morgan? Simply because she looks like she would fit the role? It makes no sense whatsoever. You know, people, look at Bo Dallas. All the rumors are now that Bo Dallas is going to return, that he's coming back. Do you want to know what somebody told me today? Now, I'm not reporting it as news. I haven't even talked to people I normally talk to about things like this. Hopefully we'll have the answer by tomorrow. But this person I talked to privately today said to me, yeah, he's probably going to work in the office. You know, people think he's going to be the newest member of the Wyatt family. That could happen. It could happen. But just because he's bloodline for Bray, you know, doesn't mean that he would be a great fit for it. I'm not saying that he's not a good fit, but people are just randomly putting people in there, you know, simply to put people in there. It's got to make sense. You know, you could bring back Eric Redbeard. Why not? I mean, Braun Strowman, I would not put back in the Wyatt family. Braun Strowman is meant to be a solo superstar. So I think Bray Wyatt with a faction, absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't have to start right away. Doesn't have to start right away. But I think ultimately Bray Wyatt definitely needs a faction. And then who knows? Who knows? Maybe in the not too distant future, we get similar to the Wyatt family in the New Day or the Wyatt family in the Shield. You have the Wyatt family on one side of the ring and the Bloodline on the other side of the ring. And you'll probably get the fans chanting holy shit again before they even touch each other. So Fly, thank you very much for your 21 dedicated months being a member of the family. What do I think should be next for Judgment Day? Feels like they should go after the tag belts and Rhea Ripley should go after Bianca Belair. Well, with as far as Rhea Ripley goes, remember, she had some health issues. Now, she has never really made publicly exactly what those issues are. So I will not make them publicly. For a little while, they did have to monitor, you know, her cardiovascular. You know, some people may have to wear a monitor for 24 hours, 5 days a week. Sometimes, you know, they check it other different ways. But they have been easing in Rhea Ripley. So if Rhea Ripley is able to come back on a full-blown basis, yeah, I could see Rhea Ripley definitely feuding with Bianca Belair. And I got news for you. Rhea Ripley is probably the first person that I think should take the title off of Bianca Belair. As far as Damian Priest and Finn Balor going for the tag titles, it doesn't make sense right now because of the Usos. And when the Street Profits were unsuccessful at SummerSlam, it almost put a lock that the Usos are keeping those titles until WrestleMania. I'm not sold yet that it's WrestleMania, but as of right now, I think, you know, as long as the Usos have those titles, I don't see Finn and Damian Priest going for those tag titles. But once Roman loses his, And once the Usos lose theirs, quickly after their losses, you will see those titles split into separate brands again. Don't expect whoever dethrones the Usos, don't expect a singular team to hold both sets of titles for an extended run. And same thing for Roman Reigns. Even if somebody defeats Roman for both championships, do not expect that victor to keep both titles for an extended period of time. Once the titles go back to their respective brands, then I could see Finn and Damian Priest going for those tag titles. So, yeah, I agree, Austin. Braun is, he's got to be a solo star. And I am very happy to see the crowd reaction since he's returned. It's pretty cool. And, hey, it's on the record. When he got released, and the report was that Vince McMahon felt that Braun was way past his prime. You know, if you remember that time, and I wasn't the only one, a lot of you said it as well. People were like, what are you talking about? You know, Braun Strowman might be in the best shape of his career. I mean, that, he's even better shape now than he was when he got released, but Braun was fine. Braun was fine. I think just creatively, Vince McMahon got too lazy. I think he just got too lazy and would not invest the time to try to reinvent the repackage and would not listen to creative ideas. I think Sasha Banks and Naomi walking out the way they did was the dagger for Vince McMahon as far as his creative pull. Yes, the controversies did him in more than anything, but, you know, Sasha and Naomi turning in those belts and walking out was the turning point. It was the creative turning point on how WWE does business. Didn't affect the stock market, didn't affect the investors' views, but it sure affected the fans. And now what you have seen since, you know, you see some people being brought back. Now, you know, with all due respect, some of the people that they've brought back, you know, I see these cute little banners that they put all its signings that Triple H has done that Vince McMahon fired, and they're like, oh, Triple H is repairing what Vince fucked up. And then you'll see that same idiot write on social media how much Hit Row sucks, or Karrion Kross sucks, or this person sucks, but Triple H is repairing it, you know, but it makes no sense. So Triple H sees vision for some of these people. And like I said, Karrion Kross creatively is allowed to, you know, get into his comfort zone and say what he wants to say and act a certain way. That's not something that Vince would allow him to do. You had to do what Vince foresaw him to be, and you couldn't go, you know, you could offer ideas here and there, but doesn't mean that Vince was going to listen. So, all right, Steve Joseph, thank you very much for another five spot. Which crowd reaction was louder? Bray Wyatt at Extreme Rules or Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania? I can't give you an answer. The acoustics are different. You know, I saw people trying to compare CM Punk's return in Chicago, his AEW debut, and they were comparing it to Triple H when he returned from injury way back when in Madison Square Garden when he was wearing all the denim. I remember doing my hotline that night. I think Joey924 was at the Garden. And he called up and he's like, the building was shaking. They never heard. It was so loud that you just heard like a ringing in your ears. It's really hard. It's really hard to determine it. You get some good mics. You get some good acoustic. And some, look, do you know a pop? Do you know a pop that nobody talks about that is one of my favorite crowd pops of all time as far as a return goes? I wonder if anybody in the chat remembers my choice. And if somebody does, I will definitely shout you out and give you major props right now. But, you know, I will say this. Cody's return at WrestleMania, the crowd reaction was awesome. Bray Wyatt last night in Philadelphia was awesome. Kenny Omega's return was awesome. CM Punk's AEW debut was awesome. But I really can't judge the decibel, you know, levels of each one. which one did I feel the most emotion towards? As a wrestling fan, Bray Wyatt last night. Nowhere near Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes was cool. It was cool. It was surreal because you never thought that he would leave AEW this quickly and show up in WWE. So the idea that he actually did go back was surreal. But it wasn't one of those that, you know, you just were like, holy fucking shit. Holy shit. You know, like Cody was like, you know, there's different ways to say it. Cody was like, oh shit. Oh shit. He actually did resign. But Bray was like, holy fucking shit. All right. Unfortunately, for everybody in the chat, nobody got it. Chris Jericho's WWF debut was awesome, too. His debut, 1999, that is my favorite Raw moment of all time. I've watched every Raw episode in its history in real time. And Chris Jericho's WWF debut is still my all-time favorite moment on Raw. The pop that I always think about, that nobody talks about, and I promise you, if you have never seen it or if you don't remember it, go on YouTube. You could go now, go later, look it up, but look for a good, high-quality version of it because some of this video quality is so shitty that the audio is muffled and you can't feel it. Ravens, WWF debut, after ECW closed down. When Raven showed up and gave the DDT, I'm telling you, look, I know a lot of you don't like Raven, and obviously, you know, some of Raven's private life is a little, you know, a little disturbing for some. We're not going to go there tonight. You know, there's a conversation that I've been wanting to have with April Hunter. No, I'm not saying that Raven went with her, but, you know, some people know why I say that. But, Kevon Lewis, said Raven. Okay, cool. All right, props to you, brother. Raven's WWF debut when you had the Alliance thing going on. I'm telling you, you go back and you listen to it, you'd be like, oh, fuck, listen to this reaction. It blew me away at the time. I was shocked. Taz, when he made his WWF debut, when he fought Kurt Angle, his pop was tremendous. So we have had a lot, but if you ask me, if I had to choose Bray or Cody Rhodes, I choose Bray. I choose Bray because Cody Rhodes, understand something. At the time, Cody Rhodes, when he was in AEW, a lot of people wanted him to turn heel. They didn't like the Brandy stuff. You know, they didn't, you know, a lot of people were souring at Cody, especially when he had the match with Anthony Ogogo, you know, and the outcome happened, what we had. And, you know, when they had to do the interim TNT title shit just for 2 weeks. So Cody, even though, you know, the jump was awesome, there was still a lot of people that were not the biggest Cody fans. So I think Bray Wyatt yesterday blows Cody Rhodes' emotional pop out of the water. I don't even think it's close. Oh, yeah. GMTA, holy shit. The Warrior, WCW. I have said this on my show over the years. If you ever want to really appreciate the Warriors' WCW debut, don't watch the video. Close your eyes. And I put it on my history shows. My history shows are still online. Just Google a search. Just type Warrior WCW debut Don Tony. And you could hear it. You just close your eyes and you just listen to it. It forces you to pay attention only on the audio. It'll blow you away. It's crazy how loud that debut was. And it hurts my feelings that Eric Bischoff shits on it. You know, because I am a monster fan of Eric Bischoff. Always has been. I've always been a big fan of Eric Bischoff. When he, you know, throws shade on the Warriors debut as a wrestling fan at that time, I didn't give a shit if it went long. You know, I fucking loved it. That's another one. Brock Lesnar's return in 12. When John Cena, the Roar after WrestleMania, And we thought, like, what's going to happen next for Cena? And Brock comes out? Oh, my fucking God. I mean, there's so many. I tell you this. WWE, you know, I don't know if anybody in particular in the offices end up checking out this episode. I know the sit downs are probably the least viewed because, you know, the topics are random. But if anybody there happens to watch this, you know, here's a great idea. Come up with a video, because they don't do DVDs anymore. Come up with a montage of like all time, you know, crowd reactions, you know, WWE, WCW. Not a top 25, not because each one is viewed differently, but just put up like 50 greatest, 25 greatest crowd reactions. I think you sit there and each one is a moment where the crowd loses their shit. For them, it's probably Triple H's return. That probably would be their number one. You know, even Steve Austin. Steve Austin WrestleMania this year. We could do this for hours, guys, gals. There are so many. And I tell you, you know, when you're down as a wrestling fan, I think watching some of these debuts and returns, you know, and just get that feeling from the crowd, and I think it makes everything better. So Fly's going to send me the clip from Seth Rollins' return. Yeah, Seth Rollins also. There are so many. There are so many. And that's what makes it so much fun to be a wrestling fan. I hope when Malakai Black returns to AEW, I hope he gets one of them. Seriously. Not because of the mental health and not because of the shit that's gone on and not because of the problems in his personal life, the issues he's had, but just because, you know, he deserves better. You know, and I think he's gotten a bad shake overall. So when he returns, I hope the crowd really gives him one. So, Joseph, shout out to you. He is tuning in Australia. What time is it in Australia right now, Joseph? Shout out to you, my friend. Shout out to everybody. Live, replay, wherever you live. For those live, you know, if you want, post in the chat where you are tuning in from. And don't say my house. Don't say my computer or my phone. I mean, like, you know, like Bronx, New York, Australia, Israel, Pakistan. You know, our family goes across the entire globe. Charlie's in Canada. Josh is in Chicago. Rob is in Chicago. Oh, okay. So Australia, 13 hours different. So it is 10 a.m. So it's 10 a.m. where you are. Okay. All right. Baltimore for Devin. GMTA is in Wisconsin. Go Hogs is in Arkansas. Rams fan is from his mother's uterus. Yeesh. Red Eye from Indiana. Kavan from Missouri. Bash from the good old USA. Austin's from Alabama. Charlie, he's so nice he had to say it twice. Joseph is in Lindenhurst. Okay, not too far from me. Shout out to Michael Hinninggardner, excuse me. Scott Chudhatz is in Pennsylvania. Benjamin's in Texas. One Falls in Monterrey, Mexico. The legend Jim Bob is in Tennessee. Matthew's in Toronto. John Vickers in Arizona. King from the Bronx. That motherfucker's been tuning into my shit since the 90s. I remember King from the Bronx when we were doing the Minority Report. That is cool. Bash 8, Parts Unknown. Josh. Indigo from Brooklyn. Rams fan, yes. Well, you know, I said his mother's uterus is a joke, but he is from California. Rams fan, you know, LA Rams, get it? Kevin Milwaukee, shout out to you. Glad everybody's having a good time. Official Thump is from Rhode Island. All right, let's answer some more questions. Believe it or not, we've gone 55 minutes already. So we want to get a couple of more good topics so we could get out of here. If you have not yet checked out last night's post-show review, please do so. I think you'll enjoy it. I did a lot of screenshots and we had a couple little clips, no copyright issues. When I go like this, for those on YouTube, you'll get a link, a magic link that'll pop up. And I had a good time yesterday. You know, it's a shame some people didn't check out the whole show because I got a few people that were criticizing me like, oh, you really didn't even get into Bianca Belair and Bayley. You didn't even, one person even said, you didn't even like say who won. And I was like, wait a minute. And I went back and I tuned in the first half of the show when we did the overview. We talked about Bianca Bayley quite a bit. and even showed the video with the KOD that gave it a victory. So I understand some people did not tune into the whole show, you know, which is fine. I don't expect everybody to listen or view every minute of every hour that I do. But don't accuse me of something that I didn't do if you don't tune into the whole show. So Rob asks, what's next for Liv Morgan? I think she's got to get a rematch with Ronda Rousey. If Charlotte Flair returns to SmackDown, I think Liv Morgan's shot, her rematch, will end up being a three-way, unless they do Saudi Arabia. Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey could very well happen in Saudi Arabia. But it's either going to happen there or it's going to be a three-way. Personally, I don't see it because I don't expect Ronda Rousey to be a transitional champion. And Charlotte Flair, when she returns, it's going to be, you know, bigger than how it's perceived right now. I personally would rather see Charlotte Flair on Raw. With Becky Lynch still out injured, Becky Lynch not returning anytime soon, I would put Charlotte Flair on Raw. Question is, you know, is she a babyface or a heel? She's got to be a heel, obviously. But, you know, no one has really filled that void for Becky Lynch. They've tried with Asuka and with Alexa Bliss, and it hasn't really worked. So, you know, Charlotte Flair, what do you do? Ronda's no-selling's got to go. It's Ronda Rousey. I loved it. After Extreme Rules was over, they interviewed her in the back, and she's trolling the haters. That's what she needed. She needed that cocky, you know, attitude. You know, even if she's a baby face, you know, shit on the haters. You know, oh, boo-hoo, go home and cry to mommy. Good. Good. That's the edge of Ronda Rousey we needed. Liv Morgan tries to do it a little bit now. Problem is fans immediately think she's turning heel. She's turning heel. They really don't know. I think Ronda, Soulfly thinks Ronda Rousey is amazing. Ronda Rousey is excellent. But Ronda Rousey, it's not like riding a bike. It's not like because you didn't ride a bike for many years and you just get onto the bike and there you're riding again. Ronda Rousey, it's taking quite some time for her to find her groove. Problem is, she's Ronda Rousey. She's not Raquel Rodriguez. She's not Shotzi Blackheart. She's not a female wrestler who still has time to grow and is on the back burner and not a lot of eyes on the person and slowly, you know, just putting it all together. That's what happened with Raquel Rodriguez when she was in NXT. You know, slowly she started putting it together. People started taking notice. Well, Ronda Rousey, the name is such a big name, you don't get that opportunity to start on the ground level and work your way up slowly because everybody has her under a microscope. That's what makes it a little difficult. But so far, so good. Mark Hicks, the second. Thank you very much, my friend. He sent a 5-spot in. Rest in peace, Sarah Lee. I will absolutely match that, and we will send everything over to her memorial fund tomorrow. You know, still horrible, absolutely horrible. You know, I saw the generosity of a lot of people in wrestling. I have not mentioned any specific donations because I don't think it's fair to compare, you know, who donated what. You know, if someone, you know, just because they're on TV doesn't mean that somebody has it where they could just give it away. Now, some people are struggling and they do whatever they can. I don't judge someone's goodness or, based on their generosity. You know, so I see people doing news reports and they single out 2 or 3 people. I think that's very, very unfair, you know. So, but for some people out there, look, if you want to post it on the chat, absolutely. But, you know, for me, I don't think it's appropriate for me to, you know, relay who donated what. Because, you know, some people I'm sure would love to have done more, but can't. You know, as much as people do want to help, you got to worry about your own backyard first. You know, and I think anybody that applies to. So I felt bad for a few people that are on TV that sent very, very small donations. And you saw some idiots on social media calling them out like, oh, that, I guess you didn't care about her all that much. I'm like, man, fuck you. Seriously. You know, you don't know what that person's situation is. You don't put yourself in hock. Why? So a couple of IWCers like, oh, what a wonderful person. You know, very, very wrong. That's why, and I told someone earlier today, that's why I did not post the links for this weekend shows in the same post as what we were doing with the fund. Because, you know, in the past, when I did that for Shad Gaspard, I had a few assholes, trolls, that were like, oh, you're just doing that to get extra hits on your shows. I'm like, man, fuck you. Fuck you. You know, you try to do something nice, and then people will call you out and say, oh, you're just doing that for extra views or for people to like you more. I'm like, you know, that's pretty weird. So trust me, I don't get additional viewers simply because we do a good deed for someone. So, and some of the greatest people out there never even tell anybody the good deeds they do. The one person who I've always talked about was Mick Foley. Mick Foley, I disagree on 80% of his political views. But Mick Foley, if I had a dollar for every time he did something for someone that it was never covered or there were no cameras around, I'd be a millionaire right now. And that's legit. Seriously. I know everybody focuses on John Cena with the Make-A-Wishes. Believe me when I tell you, I think it's mind-boggling how much Mick Foley has done for people that we'll never know. We will never know. I've witnessed some of it up close and personal. He's a very good man with some political views that I disagree with, but, you know, I still respect and love the guy. It is true fact. I actually considered asking Mick Foley to marry me and my wife. Mick Foley would have done it. But Mick Foley, who he's done this for as a minister, you know, to, you know, oversee a wedding, he would want you to make a donation, whether it's for rain or for something else. It wasn't about money. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like, I don't know. We just wanted to use, like, a minister from our neighborhood. So, somebody asked me the name of the minister I use. Some of you have seen the pictures. His name is Vincent Sica. Not Sica like the Wild Samoans. Instead of the letter K, it's the letter C. S-I-C-A. So any of you out there were looking for a minister, because a few people actually asked, like, you know, what was the name of the minister? I don't have any pictures available. I don't think I do that I could show you. I think the only picture that I did have was the one where it looked like I was cutting a promo on my wife when we were at the altar. Do I have it? I don't think I do. No, I just have the one we were in the, No, that's not it. Maybe I do. Just give me 2 seconds. I'm looking at MJF when he was the Joker. Yeah, I don't have it handy. So I'll show you next time. But I thought that was a cool photo. I do have it. All right, here it is. Yeah, I'll show you right now. Let me just put a little black background. Because little tricks you could do with this software. All right, yeah, I could show you right now. That's him right there. So he was looking at me like, what the fuck is he doing? So I'll zoom in on his face. Look at his face. He's like, no, what are you doing? He's awesome, man. Vincent Sica. He's been doing it for like 50 years. Awesome, awesome, awesome minister. So, yeah, it looked like I was cutting a promo. So, it's been a month already. Shit. Charlie says, I'm tall. Yeah, I'm almost 6'4". Almost 6'4". Indigo. When Saraya eventually has her first match back, do I think it should be a one-on-one match with Britt Baker or some sort of tag team match? I'll repeat what I said Wednesday. I think AEW is going to lead to an unsanctioned match between Britt Baker and Saraya. I think they are going to keep it vague that she could return. I think there's going to be a difference of opinion, and I think Saraya will want to fight Britt Baker, and maybe it'll do a storyline where AEW has not officially cleared her, and they make it an unsanctioned match. So that's where, I'm not saying they'll go that route, but I think it's the easiest way to go. Because why would AEW and Saraya, 3 weeks in, why would they not just answer the elephant in the room? Why would you not? Listen, because Saraya, let's be honest. Saraya has been damaged the last 3 weeks because people don't know if she's cleared or not. In my opinion, she's cleared. In my opinion, she's cleared. Few people I've talked to have said to me, look, DT, I'm not her doctor and I'm not that close with her, but everybody, the vibe going around in the locker room is that she's cleared. So I believe she's cleared. But since they're keeping it vague and you let the noise that she may not be cleared, and how the fuck do you sign someone for 3 years who didn't even get a physical? There are people actually accusing AEW of not even requiring Saraya to get a physical. Listen, I know we criticize Tony Khan's, you know, amateurish ways. I don't think they're that amateurish that they hire Saraya without getting a physical. I believe she did all the protocol. So why do you still keep it vague? Why do you still let the noise creep in? People accusing her of not being cleared. Why not just clear it up, dispel it, and then everybody realizes everybody's on the same page. She's cleared. She can wrestle. The fact that they're not doing that tells me it's going to lead to an unsanctioned match. I think Britt Baker versus Saraya will be an unsanctioned match. I don't think, no, Sam, if she was going to come in just as a manager, they would clear it up immediately. She would clear it up immediately. I know, look, this is my house, women's revolution. Now, I get it. But, you know, they would have made that clearer. You know, if she can't return to the ring, you throw it out there immediately. Because when she does get a little physical or somebody threatens a little violence, you know, that could actually add to the suspension of disbelief. The fact that they have kept this vague tells me she's returning and it may be an unsanctioned match. I don't think we need to overthink this, guys, gals. You know, just like the Bray and the Edge stuff and everything else, no reason to overthink it. You know, there's, why would AEW allow the negative, you know, talk to creep in this much in 3 weeks and not do anything about it to stop it? Because they know what's going to be next. I think the unsanctioned is the way to go. Rams fan is saying, do they wait to have our first match on AEW pay-per-view? I would. I mean, when is AEW's next pay-per-view? Could someone pull that up for me? If I'm assuming it's November. So, yeah, I would, if they have a pay-per-view in November, absolutely wait for pay-per-view. You know, I know it would be a nice little ratings bump, but, you know, to do it on TV, but I'd do it on pay-per-view. Absolutely. November in New Jersey. Thank you, Indigo. What's the actual date? Because Crown Jewel is the 5th. So is it the same weekend as Crown Jewel? I don't think so. Maybe it's the 13th. Someone is checking out. Look, I hope it's not Thanksgiving week because I am going away for 4 days, 5 days, Thanksgiving week. I'm going to go to Mohegan Sun. I'm going to celebrate the 10-year anniversary being with my wife, you know, relationship-wise. And it's also the anniversary of me proposing to her. November 19th. Okay, so it's the week before. AEW Full Gear, November 19th. Thank you, Sam. One Fall, everyone else. No, they don't have a pay-per-view Motion by the Ocean. You know, Pee by the Sea. You know, Quake by the Lake. Shit by the Pit. Food with the Dudes. Guardian of Chaos. Wait, I look like Dennis Franz? All right, so you know what that means for the remainder of the show? All right. You know, this was somebody's hat, and he said that he had it steam cleaned. I actually do smell like the dry cleaning stuff. So trust me, the hat was clean. I looked very, very closely for like gray hairs and shit like that. You think I want for somebody else's forensics? Somebody sent it to me. This hat is supposedly 80 years old. I can't even read the label. All it says is, it does say 100% Italian wool, hand wash only, and that's it. There's no, like, brand on it. Supposedly, it's from the 1940s. So, it's nice. It actually, you know what I love about it? You really can't see it, but there's, like, little shades of, like, gray and blue and brown in it. It actually looks nice. I'm actually thinking about wearing it to work one day. Oh, man. Shit. I can't remember what his handle is. But there's a guy that does a podcast that I'm friends with. And forgive me. I'm drawing a blank right now. And he works for my dad's store. And there's a guy that works in the store that wears one of these every single day. Wears every single day. So, all right. Let's start bringing this home. Let's start answering some specific questions. Charlie is asking, who is April Hunter? Google her. She is somebody who has been involved in wrestling for a very, very long time. She goes back to even WCW days and very, very nice lady. I have not talked to her one-on-one in about, I'd say, 13 years, 12 years. But, you know, there's a couple of things that I do need to talk to her about that's related with Daphne. Plus, as I've said before, I don't like name dropping people, especially like we just talked about with the GoFundMe for Sarah Lee. But since it's so many years past, you know, when I did the drive for Conan for the kidney stuff, and look, I don't bring it up. You know, some idiot, when it was the anniversary, I brought it up, and then they went to Conan and said, oh, he keeps bringing it up still after all these years. Conan's like, wow, that's kind of weird. I'm like, I don't bring this shit up. You know, like it was the anniversary. Somebody mentioned it, so I brought it up. But I will say this. When I put it out there, a lot of people within wrestling all tried to help. They appreciated Conan. And April Hunter was one of the people early on that went out of her way, you know, and was very, very generous. And, you know, I don't know if I still have her emails, but you know, my old email address at that time, I still have my emails. Why would I close them down? And I have shit saved, you know, not because I hoard, but, you know, she was very, very generous and kind and helpful early on. Very, very sweet woman. So, all right, let's get into some topics. All right, would Tony Khan, Gruss is asking, would Tony Khan try a great value version of the Bray Wyatt return with Malakai Black? No. Malakai Black, the House of Black, is not a why. Let me tell you this much. I hope, I'll twist your question this way. I hope to God Brody King learned his lesson calling out Judgment Day. That pissed me off. I mean, I've warmed up on Brody King, and I appreciate his wrestling prowess. And I don't have any ill comments towards Brody King anymore. But when he called, you know, the Judgment Day with Edge, House of Black, you know, WWE bought it on Wish. That's the House of Black on Wish. I'm like, man, fuck you, you roly-poly. Fucking Edge is a Hall of Famer. And it's fucking been working his ass off in the ring since he's had baby fat from too much breast milk. Like, shut the fuck up, you know? And I just thought, you know, I thought at that time Brody King's attitude reflected Tony Khan and the culture online, keep throwing shit, throwing jabs, keep poking the bear. And I think he has since shut up. I hope he doesn't go there towards Bray Wyatt. Because if there's any feeling that Bray Wyatt and his Wyatt family may be closer to a rendition of House of Black, I hope this motherfucker doesn't open his mouth. You know, I hope he learned since then. And Brody King is so talented. He doesn't need to go there with those digs. But, no, I don't think Bray Wyatt would be similar to the House of Black. You know, Bray Wyatt, as we said yesterday, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Just make it better. We used the wheel as the analogy yesterday. The wheel has been around for 100 years. I mean, as far as cars go. But you don't try to change the wheel. You just make it better. So Bray Wyatt, you don't have to repair all that much. You know, you just need to creatively go in a direction with Bray Wyatt that we have not seen before. But, you know, look, there's a reason why Bray Wyatt, Wyndham, is as over as he is right now. Because people dug him and dug the character and dug what could have been and what should have been. And it should have been much bigger than what we even had. And there's been a lot of memories. You know, Bray Wyatt's been around for a while now. So, you know, you don't just get over based on sympathy. If that was the case when Karrion Kross returned, crowd would have went nuts for that too. You know, so you don't have to fix much with Bray Wyatt. All right. Rams fan is asking, would Rikishi ever be brought in for the Bloodline story? I was thinking of Rikishi the other day, if they ever go a twisted route with Jey Uso. You know, like, I'm not saying that, like, Rikishi, I did it for The Rock, but I don't know, I got some Rikishi vibes when I was thinking about Jey Uso maybe trying to do a coup and try to take over the Bloodline. But as I explained Friday night, you know, what Logan Paul said, you know, didn't really make as much sense as people portrayed it to be. But people went past that because they realized, ooh, little twist in the storyline. Is there going to be a battle for power over here? Or is that Prevagen hire going to start going back a couple of years for what happened with Roman and Jey Uso? Could happen. David Peralta, I have not been on Discord since Tuesday. But, yeah, I'll check it out later. I don't really go on Discord other than doing the Patreon shows, you know, but, yeah, I'll check it out later. So, let's see. Like I said, everyone in the chat room, put the word question before your question. If you have a comment, put the word comment. Anybody that super chats, like I said, you know, jump to the front of the line. Charlie Conway, why don't I bother on hockey? Because 95% of everybody tuning in is not interested in hockey here. You know, I always say, even on the sit-down, we could talk about anything. But for the most part, you know, everybody's here mostly for the wrestling. So that's why we don't talk about it much. That's why, you know, we don't talk about politics much anymore. You know, look, if it's a topic of conversation, we have a tragedy or there's something coming up with politics, sure, we'll touch on it. But, you know, that was one of the complaints a couple of years ago. He talks too much about politics. And I agree. Looking back on it, I'm kind of embarrassed how much politics I talked about. Because it was on my mind, but it wasn't on your minds. So these shows now are based on your feedback, your comments, your questions. And that's not pandering. That is the truth. You know, I try to talk about, if you even look at the titles on the audio side of things, I now have a little title next to every episode that we do. It's usually 4 or 5 words. And if you look at it for the last 6 weeks, the titles have involved primarily CM Punk, EVPs, Andrade, Sammy Guevara, Bray Wyatt. That's pretty much it. Little thing here and there, war game stuff like that, but that's because that is the direction majority of you have wanted the conversations to go. So I'm just trying to reflect what everybody, the majority of you out there want. Indigo is asking, what are my thoughts on FTR not having a standard 2-on-2 tag match against an AEW team since April? Indigo, brother, who's the one that brought that to the surface? Who's the one? Seriously, are you really making me pull this up? I mean, I'm the only person online for the last, you know, month, 2 months that have brought this to surface. The only reason why people are talking about it now is because people are now realizing, holy shit, are you kidding me with FTR? I'm trying to find it. Where's my banner? Shit. I have to pull this up because let me make this clear. Not everybody checks out Wednesday Night Dynamite, and that's why not all of you out there have even seen this. But let me see. Let me just pull this up. It's got to be here. because most of the time when I'm about to give up, say, oh, I can't find it, then it pops up. But no, I made a custom banner about FTR, which is extremely revealing. Where the hell is it? This is like pissing me off. Hold on. Now I have to pull it up. It's a big deal. Shit. I can't believe this is... It's got to pull up. I mean, all right, let me check one more area over here. I got to title these better. I got to stop being lazy and yeah, I got it. I got it. I got to title these better so I can just type FTR. I made this banner. Look at it. Look at the bottom. FTR tag team record in 2022, 3-3. Zero AEW tag matches since April 1st, 2022. That's excluding ROH, IWGP, AAA, and Trios matches. Straight up, 2-on-2, FTR. They have not had an AEW match since March 30th. It's awful. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's no excuse for it. And that's why I say, honestly, if I was IWGP or AAA right now, I would turn around and say, all right, FTR, we want you to drop the titles to someone else. Honestly, I know that sounds like a dick move, but people are clamoring for FTR to have four tag team titles at the same time, because right now they have three. And the ROH, that promotion is still dead, everyone. Just because they defend the titles on TV and they try to do the little storyline doesn't mean the promotion is back. They're not doing house shows. You know, they're just, you know, they've had one event, and even that event, some people, there's been controversy with prior ownership. So if I was AAA right now, FDR, we need you to drop the titles. No, but we're going to win the AEW titles, and we're going to walk around with four sets of titles. Dax, you do realize this is entertainment. It's not real life. You're going to drop the titles. And if you don't, shut your mouth. You two are going to lose to the midgets. We're going to have the midgets. Seriously, I don't want FTR to get screwed. But, I would love to hear that they lost the IWGP or AAA tag titles right now. Because then I would turn around and say, see, Tony Khan, you fucking waited too long. And now they had to drop other titles. And now they're only going to have two sets of titles or three sets. So that's ridiculous. The number one tag team of last year, who should have been the number one tag team of this year, and in AEW, you know, they haven't wrestled a tag match under the AEW official records since March 30th. You know, when we go back to the annals of wrestling history, you know, if AEW, look, let me make this clear, and I shouldn't have to say this, but it's Captain Obvious. When we tune into AEW, we're watching AEW. We want to watch AEW. We don't give a fuck about AAA tag titles. We don't give a shit about IWGP titles. With all due respect, we don't care about an Owen Hart trophy all that much. You know, we want to see AEW shit being defended on AEW TV. The Acclaimed on last week's Rampage opened up Rampage. They weren't even the main event. And you had Ring of Honor shit closing out as the main event. Your own tag team champions that are defending the tag team titles are not even your main event. I'm not talking about this past Friday. I'm talking about the Friday before. So believe me, I know people will say, well, the Ring of Honor titles were defended on AEW TV. And, oh, well, the AAA titles were defended on AEW TV. You look in the record books. Why have these guys not had an AEW tag team match? 2-2. No CM Punk, no Wardlow, no fucking, you know, Samoa Joe or anyone else. Strictly after, why not? Why not? Ridiculous. It's asinine. And guess what? I will bet you that either this week or next week, FTR will have a regular tag team match on AEW. Because as weird as it sounds, and people have been here long enough that have noticed it, that when we really bring something to the surface, within a week or two, you know, that gets dispelled. You know, something changes. I'll never forget the Jay Lethal. Remember, ranked number three, and we had a field day on that. And then the following week, Jay Lethal was out of the top five ranking. And you notice Tony Khan is not updating rankings the last couple of weeks. Smartest thing that he has ever done. I don't know if any other show out there has been saying for the longest time, kill the rankings. Go based on the momentum. Go based on what feels organic. Go based on what your fans want now. Because you have these records being built on Elevation and on Dark. And then someone else who has not been on the radar has too many losses and is not in the rankings. You know. And by the way, why is FTR ranked AEW's number one tag team? Explain that to me. Why are they still ranked number one? And don't give me, well, they haven't updated in the last 2 weeks. No. Why is AEW still advertising them as number one tag team? They haven't had a match under the AEW banner in the record books since March. All right. We're going to wrap this up in about 5 to 10 minutes. Because don't forget, tomorrow night, we obviously have a big recap to do. DX 25th anniversary. Probably get a little bit of Bray Wyatt. We have the Bloodline returning to Raw. We also have Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley for the United States Championship. Johnny Gargano versus Austin Theory. And so we're going to have a big, big, fun recap to do tomorrow. Don't forget, mark it on your calendars. Thursday, November 3rd, probably at 8 p.m. Eastern, JD from New York will be joining me here. And we are going to have a blast. Podcast Forbidden Door 3. It's like the WrestleMania 3. Will we get 93,000 people to tune in? No, probably not. But the format will be the same as it was for Jason Solomonsta and for Joe Cronin. This week, maybe tonight, sometime this week, I'm going to post a sticky thread on the community section. And what we're going to do is for 2 weeks, we're going to let everybody submit a question that they would like for us to debate, answer, discuss, whatever it is. And the reason why I'm only keeping the questions open for 2 weeks is because after 2 weeks, which would be about a week before the show, JD and myself will go through all the questions and he will pick his 10, 15, 20 favorites. And I'm going to pick my 10, 15, or 20 favorites. We haven't decided how many questions we're going to answer yet. Because remember, there's going to be people live. There's going to be a crazy amount of super chats coming in, and any super chats we're going to split right down the middle. So, but as far as questions set in advance, we're going to choose a handful of our favorites, and this gives us a week to prepare. Because trust me, even if you love my shit, don't like JD. Even if you love JD and don't like my shit too much, which I don't know why you'd be tuning in, or maybe you like both. All right, one thing is for certain, most of you already realize that JD and I disagree on a lot. A lot. We probably disagree more than we agree. So trust me, I know some of these questions that will come in will involve some hardcore debates. See, the difference is, you know, whether people think I won the debate or he won the debate, it's not about winning or losing. And at the end of the day, you know, we respect each other. We're friends. We would still have a drink together. We don't take it personal. But I will tell you, that motherfucker is hardcore and is very dedicated, very, very hardworking for his viewers and listeners. And I am as well. I'm not as much as him because I'm too old and I'm tired. And I have, obviously, a lot of other things going on, you know, which kind of restricts me here. But I will say that he and I, we are very passionate on what we believe in, and neither one of us wants to lose an argument. So we're going to pick our favorites. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. Kevin Milwaukee, he is like number 224. If you're enjoying tonight's shows, take a moment, smash that like button. it helps. It helps. The more, you can only do it once, but the more YouTube sees that, the more they're inclined to tell someone else out there, hey, you might actually like this. Tune in. Check it out. All right, so I've decided let's go another 15 minutes. Let's go another 15 minutes. I want to answer strictly your questions. Again, in the chat, write question in capital letters before your question or comment before it so I could spot it quicker. And if I do answer yours, you know, spread out the love, you know, give someone else a chance to ask something. GMTA is asking, do I think Bray Wyatt could interrupt the DX reunion and demolish them with his new faction? No, I don't believe that at all. Tomorrow is a feel-good moment. I believe The Miz and Dexter Lumis will probably get involved with this based on what we saw at Extreme Rules. Miz wanted to ask Triple H something, and he didn't get the opportunity to do so. And then, obviously, everything went down with Gritty and Dexter Lumis yesterday. So I am wondering if The Miz interrupts DX. If it's not him, it's probably going to be Chad Gable. I could picture Chad Gable with DX. Shush! Making fun, you know, of their age now and suck it and this, that. So, no, I don't see Bray Wyatt getting involved with them. There's no reason to. You know, in the Attitude Era, yeah, when the Dudleys took out Mae Young and Moolah, you know, when Randy Orton spit in the face of some legends like Harley Race and others. But Bray Wyatt, they don't need to go in that direction. There's no need to. It's going to be more of a happy moment, a little bit of comedy. Somebody obviously is going to eat some finisher tomorrow. Does Triple H do a pedigree? Maybe. Will Shawn Michaels land a super kick? Maybe. X-Pac could do a Road Dogg with a couple of his punches? Somebody is going to, and it's why I think Chad Gable. Because I picture Chad Gable getting some big-time heat, shitting on Brooklyn a little bit. So I see that. I see that happening. So. All right. Bash 8 is asking, do I still play fantasy baseball? I have not played fantasy baseball in the last couple of years. I was so hardcore into it. When I play to win. And I don't like to play and, you know, miss a week or get a little lazy with it. And I was in some hardcore leagues that went back 10, 15 years. It's just, you know, there's only so many hours in a day. And it was just too much. You know, next year is always a possibility. But that's one thing I do miss playing. Those fantasy sports were pretty awesome. Very intense. You know, I was in some leagues with the Mass Maniac and some wrestlers also. Don't want to mention any specific names. And trust me, those motherfuckers get very, very intense with their shit. But not in the last couple of years. I think Billy Gunn will appear, Matthew. I think it's going to be a pre-recorded segment. I think it's going to be done through a cell phone and then submit the footage earlier. He could have already done the footage right now. It'd be interesting if he wears a Scissor Me Daddy-ass shirt. I don't know if that'll... I would be surprised if Billy Gunn is not shown tomorrow. Do they make a moment of silence for China? Maybe. Possible. I don't think they'll do a moment of silence, but they will name drop her. I doubt they'll name drop Ravishing Rick Rude because he was such a short part of DX. So Ninja Tori will not be brought up either. So remember Kane? Suck it. Kevin Milwaukee, what do I think of his idea of having Jade Cargill go 50-0, then match 51 be Jamie Hayter and she wins in an upset? It's not a bad idea. Jamie Hayter, oof. I hear the fans and how much they're getting behind Jamie Hayter. The problem is, you know, will Tony Khan be that organic to see the writing on the wall that, oh, Jamie Hayter's got this incredible momentum. Yeah, she should be the one to dethrone Jay Cargill. I don't see it. I don't see it. I almost feel like Britt Baker may be the first one to dethrone her. I know that sounds ridiculous right now, but it's got to be somebody that Tony Khan adores. And I don't see anybody on the roster right now remotely coming close to beating Jade Cargill. I could see Jamie Hayter becoming the AEW Women's Champion. But as far as her dethroning Jade, I really don't see it. I really don't see it. I think, ultimately, we may see not a unification match, but winner take all. And whoever the women's champion is at the time maybe takes on Jade. And even that, you know, you can't even say right now who would win because we don't even know who she would face. Jamie Hayter, you know, she's good. But I don't know if it's going to go through Tony Khan's head that, yeah, she should be the one in the record books. In the history of AEW, she was the first loss for Jade Cargill. If for some reason, that just doesn't fly with me. Like, if it was Sasha Banks, if she ever went to AEW, which I don't see happening, then I could see that as far as record books go. But no, the first person to dethrone Jade Cargill is Jamie Hayter. I don't see it. Don't see it. Yeah, Jade could pin herself. She could pin herself. Look, as long as we don't get like what happened with Goldberg with his first loss, as long as we don't get something like that, you know, I'm fine with it. Just right now, I don't see Jade Cargill losing anytime soon. There's nobody on the roster, not Saraya, nobody that makes me think, you know, at any particular given point, anytime soon, that she's going to lose. Mm-mm. Don't see it. No, Shida, I don't see Hikaru Shida in the long-term plans with AEW. In fact, I'm a little surprised that she's not gone already. I don't see, I don't know how long her deal is and everything like that, but in my opinion, I think Hikaru Shida, her future is not going to be AEW. I think, you know, could happen in a month, 6 months, I don't know. But Shida, I think that ship has already sailed. A lot of fans love Shida, and she is awesome, and she's got a little bit of a record in AEW, and maybe considered a top three AEW women of all time. But I just don't see it. I don't see it. You get a little momentum and then it's gone. Get a little momentum and then it's gone. Get a little momentum. No. Dick Shida is gone. All right. We got six more minutes. No, when I said Sasha Banks was someone that Saudi Arabia really wanted this year, I wasn't kidding. And when I put sausage out there, the whole idea of putting those sausage posts is for them to come true. I mean, it's not sausage if it doesn't come true. Everything that we've written so far, the only two that have not happened yet is Bray Wyatt in Saudi Arabia. And, oh, actually three. Bray Wyatt in Saudi Arabia, Vince McMahon in the Hall of Fame, even though people are now reporting what, you know, what I posted. And Sasha Banks and Naomi return. Sasha Banks and Naomi will return either by day one or Royal Rumble around that time. They are returning. I've been saying this for 6 weeks. I'm not going to say to you, oh, I was the first one to report it. No, it's they're coming back. That's already been answered. And their media appearances are still as a team. So when they return as a team. So I don't want to say it's like Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, but they are returning, and they will return as a team. Yes, Goldberg beat Bray in Saudi. You know, it'd be great. Let me ask you all this, because nobody's talked about this. Let me ask you this. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's not out of the realm. What's your reaction? Seriously. And, you know, I always ask you, you know, if you're watching this on a replay, type something right in the comment section afterwards. What if I said to you right now that Bray Wyatt shows up on Raw tomorrow, cuts a promo, talks about why he left or if being forced out, and he is coming back and he is going to take all the souls that helped kill the world, and he calls out Goldberg for Saudi Arabia. And in Saudi Arabia, Bray Wyatt beats the fuck out of Goldberg. What say all of you? Because you know how much Saudi Arabia loves their Goldberg. They love the larger than life superheroes. What if I say to you right now, Bray Wyatt challenges Goldberg for Crown Jewel and rights the wrong, beats the fuck out of Goldberg, totally annihilates Goldberg. You know, what did I say? What say you? No Goldberg? Or would you want to see Goldberg get his ass handed to him? Because think about that. I know a lot of you, look, I like Goldberg. I've always did. Shit. You know what? Here's it. Look, this is gum from 1998, WCW, still sealed, not open. If they do Bray Wyatt versus Goldberg at Saudi Arabia again, then I will open this up that night and chew the whole pack. Yeah, make your son cry too. Be vicious. You all could be sinister. You know what? Bray Wyatt could beat the fuck out of his son, too. His son's a year or a year and a half older. You know, his son might even look different than last time we saw him. So, remember, didn't Bray Wyatt in the Firefly Funhouse, like, put, like, X's in the eyes of some of the people that he was trying to get revenge for? So, what if they kind of, like, did a hybrid of that? Look, this is not news, just throwing an idea out there. How many of you would like to see Bray Wyatt challenge Goldberg for Saudi Arabia, but this time Bray Wyatt hands his ass to him? Not a bad idea. Do I have a death wish, Benjamin? No. But Saudi Arabia gets the larger than life star. Bill Goldberg gets another payday. Bray Wyatt gets a very deserving win, and it's just a novelty match for Saudi Arabia. All right. What time is it? Yeah, we're going to get out of here. We've already done an hour and 42. We did an hour and 40 yesterday. We did probably the same on Friday, and then tomorrow we got a show. And then Tuesday's Patreon, and then Wednesday night Dynamite. So we have a loaded couple of days coming up. So, guys, gals, it's been awesome. I want to thank you, as always, for spending your time with me. And I hope, you know, you enjoyed our conversation for tonight. Again, you have any lingering questions, comments, feedback from tonight's show, post it in the comment section. And I'm curious to see what kind of reaction to the idea of Bray versus Goldberg at Saudi again. My answer? Yeah. Yeah. I like to see that. I like to see him wanting to, because remember, you know, if that's the case, you know, the big question is, how does he deal with Randy Orton? How does he deal with Alexa Bliss? Remember Alexa Bliss. Remember Samson and Delilah, you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't have any alternate ending where Samson got his revenge on Delilah or Samson got Lisa to take out Delilah, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see where they go with this. But all right, everybody, have a great night. All the best. Stay safe. And I'll see you all again very, very soon. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.